Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from a book entitled The Christian in Complete Armor by William Gurnall, the English Bible scholar and pastor who died in 1679. We're on the Christian's spiritual shoe, the third item of spiritual armor, and he's asking questions about the conscience. This question, what applies satisfaction to the conscience? Conscience is a lock which is not easily opened. Even if the key fits, a weak hand cannot make it turn in the lock. Thus, when a mere man holds the key of comfort, conscience refuses to open. Its doubts and fears will not be resolved until there is a work of God's Spirit. Conscience is God's officer, and although the debt is paid in full from heaven, this official will not let the soul go free until the Spirit of God authorizes and brings a divine warrant. Job 34:29, when he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? And when he hides his face, who then can behold him? Now follow me as I demonstrate why an abundant peace of conscience cannot be found apart from the gospel and the working of the Holy Spirit. A, only the gospel presents God's Spirit as the comforter. The comfort of the Holy Spirit rests in the satisfaction of Jesus Christ. After he had shed his blood and paid the full price of the sinner's peace with God, he returned to heaven and asked his Father to send the comforter. Now, Christ could not have made this request, nor could his Father have granted it, unless his death had protected God's justice from receiving any damage when believers receive comfort from the Spirit. Christ told his disciples this, "If I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, the Spirit was sent to believers as soon as Jesus appeared in the heavens with his blood as an intercessor. But you may be wondering how Old Testament saints could have had this peace and comfort, since they lived before Christ returned to heaven, even before he came to earth the first time. Well, they found comfort in the same person who bought their pardon. They were forgiven through the blood of Christ, who was a lamb slain from the beginning of the world, and they were comforted by his Spirit. All their pardons were sent out on the credit of Christ, who even then stood ready to lay down his life in the fullness of time. And it is on that same credit that the Holy Spirit's comforts came to them. Thus you can see that the Spirit is a comforter because of God's gospel covenant. He could never have spoken a word if it had not been for the gospel promise. Therefore, when the Father sends him to comfort, he comes in Christ's name, who has stood in the gap between him and sinners. That is, for his sake and at his request. What does the Holy Spirit say when he comforts? The joyful news he brings is gospel intelligence. In John 16:13, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. In other words, his teaching will not bring new light different from what shines in the gospel, but he will teach the same truth Christ preached. When the Spirit comforts, the ingredients of his soul-reviving refreshments have been gathered from the gospel garden. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it to you. That is, Christ's death, his worthiness, his resurrection, ascension, intercession, the promises purchased and sealed with his blood. B. The Holy Spirit has power to comfort. The gospel supplies sufficient power to satisfy the most troubled conscience in the world, the full satisfaction which Christ's precious blood has made to God for sinners. But if a person were left to understand and profit from this plan by himself, he might have to remain in the pains of scorched conscience, because not one drop of cool balm has come to heal it. But just as God's love and wisdom provided a Savior to purchase eternal redemption for us, he also sent a comforter to apply purchased redemption to us. This divine work is called appropriately strong consolation in Hebrews 6:18. Christ showed his strength when he unhinged the gates of the grave and made his way out of that dark prison by his glorious resurrection. By this demonstration, he was declared to be the Son of God with power, Romans 1:4. And it requires no less power to break open the dungeon where the guilty conscience lies confined. In fact, the same stone is upon the sinner's conscience to keep him from being resurrected to comfort, as was on Christ's tomb to keep him from being resurrected to life. Remember, though, that the strongest seal on Jesus' grave was not the stone which man rolled upon him, nor the seal the Jews tried to fasten the grave with, but the curse of the law for sin, which divine justice attached to him. Not even the angel who rolled away the stone could have removed such a curse. Suppose we could look in on the grave of this distressed conscience, where guilt has buried it, and sense the hell in its dread and fears. "I am damned," is the language ringing continually in his own ears. But what keeps his conscience here? Why can he not be lifted out of this pit of horror? "You pour out the ointment of comfort in vain, for God's curse sticks like a dagger in his heart, and his anger weighs like a mountain of lead on the sinner's conscience. Unless you can take away this curse and anger, peace and comfort are impossible. The same gravestone rests on both." But the comforter comes to tell you good news. The same Spirit who kept Jesus from seeing corruption in the grave, who restrained death from feeding on him, who quickened his dead body, and raised him not only to life, but to immortality, he is the one whom Christ calls to satisfy your sorrowing conscience for his love's sake. This blessed Holy Spirit has all the characteristics of a comforter. He is so pure and holy that he cannot deceive. He is called the Spirit of Truth. If he says your sins are forgiven, you can believe him. He will not flatter. If it were not so, he would have told you, for he can chide as well as comfort. He can convince of sin as well as of righteousness. And the Spirit of God is so wise that he cannot be deceived. He never knocks at the wrong door, nor delivers messages to the wrong person, but he knows the exact purpose which the heart of God holds for each person on earth. The Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:10. These deep things of God, which the apostle mentions, are God's counsels of love, which lie deep in his heart until the Spirit draws them out and shows them to men and women. And he also knows perfectly the frame of man's heart. It would be strange if the cabinet maker did not know every secret compartment in the cabinet. Despite their long study, neither man nor the devil have anything even approaching a full knowledge of that little world, the microcosm of man's soul. But as in everything else, God knows this field perfectly and cannot be deceived. In a word, God's Spirit is so irresistible that no one can stand against the power of his peace. For example, the pardon Nathan took to David was not all that he had hoped for, and so David begged the comforter to ease his pain. He went on his knees and prayed hard to have his lost joy restored and his softened heart established by the free Spirit of God. You might baffle man, and through your own melancholy manipulation, even evade the truths which Christians bring for comfort. But when the Holy Spirit himself comes, all disputes will end. Satan cannot pull rank or his false logic on him. Confusion vanishes and our fears with it, as darkness disappears before the sun. The Holy Spirit overruns the heart so sweetly and forcefully with a flood of joy that the soul can no more see sin and guilt than Noah could see anthills when the whole earth was under water. Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening again. For more audios that I do believe will bless you, please go to the top of my webpage. It's clicking on the word series there, series, and choose from the list of over 200 topics that represent 3,500 audios. These daily readings are retrievable as a podcast, and you can download the app. Also, please join me at a second podcast site called Rapture Talk, and it's found at bobdiakonos7.podbean.com. Bob Diakonos, BobDiakonos7.podbean, just like it sounds, .com. All one big long word. We talk about the coming of the Lord there. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.